I did change tablets there for who's there in the chair. So if you've been writing your name on and you got it 1,000 times on one page, brand new page today. We're finally going to start collecting them and looking after them since all that COVID thing went on. Appreciate that. And I made the citizenship class last Sunday night full of facts that are fascinating. The true history of our country. You're going to need to know this stuff because all the false stuff that's being spewed out there today. I've been quoting what I learned last Sunday night all week long to friends and so on. So I think you'll find it very interesting if you come out tonight to that class. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning. As a general rule, we found out that little dogs take a lot longer to housebreak than big dogs. Our hunting dogs, we brought them into the house. Within a week or two, they're just doing fine. But those little ones, they take about 9 months before they're trained and they know what they're supposed to do and so on. And even after they're fully trained, those little ones will often leave a little something behind in order to just leave you a message. They'll tell you a little something like, I don't like to be left alone. You shouldn't have scolded me like that. And all kind of little lessons along that line. I don't like to be ignored. When the fellas came and set up our adjustable bed, I warned them. I said, now be careful. Don't leave any tools or nuts or bolts laying around because our dog loves to play hide and go seek with such things. Well, they learned the hard way. Now, the one gentleman went home with a screwdriver with teeth marks in its grip. So, in your walk with Jesus, are you a little dog? You a big dog? You trained already? Or are you one of those troubled ones that you always got to keep an eye on? Are you still in training? Or have you come to enjoy the journey and the friendship? Can he trust you? Or does he have to watch you constantly? Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Father, help us with your word today. Help us to get it, to understand it, and then to live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here describes infant believers, very unstable, believing this one minute, that another, very quick to pivot, to change, very gullible, tossed about by every wind of teaching, vulnerable to deceivers and schemes of the enemy. But our text tells us we don't have to stay that way. That can be in our past. We don't have to stay in an infant stage. We can grow, become mature, solid. Well, how do we do that? Well, we follow the formula we've been learning here in the book of Ephesians. A couple messages together, we talked about your life is on display. There are rulers in high places that are watching what God's doing in your life. God's reputation is on the line in your life. It's not just about you. Well, does God care about me? Yes, he does. But he also is showing off in you. And they say, well, he's got a funny way of showing off. This thing's lasted an awful long time, taking longer than I ever thought that it would. Just be patient. Masterpieces aren't created overnight. He's still working and the story isn't over yet. Even in your endurance, he is showing off what his strength can provide in your life. Be strengthened in your inner self. It's not so much about what's going on outside physically, but it's what's going on inside. Be strengthened inside so that you can house more of Christ, that he can glow, that he can shine through you. And because of all of this, live a life worthy of your call. You have a high calling. You're not just a you. You're his. You've been called to a great family. You've got a reputation to live up to. Live a life that is worthy of your calling. And in that, develop the gifts God has given you by his grace. Maybe you haven't even discovered them yet. That's fine. Keep working at it. Keep seeking the Lord. He will develop in you wonderful, powerful gifts that will wow them in heaven. And if you don't follow this prescription, you remain easy prey for the enemy. You remain an infant, rather helpless, very vulnerable. And the enemy will knock you off so quickly. You'll be so easy for him to take advantage of. So grow up and be strengthened. One of our ladies was ministering at Morningstar, I guess it was last year, last summer or so. And she ran into a couple, the woman professing to be a prophetess. And she said that by the Spirit of the Lord, she realized that China and Russia were both going to invade the United States. And in preparation of that, her and her husband are learning to speak Russian and Mandarin. Good luck with that. And the lady from our congregation said, you know, careful, careful. When it comes to prophecy, stay within the boundaries of Scripture. If you can't quote chapter and verse, you're out there on a limb and you need to be careful. Have we heard some spurious things over the last year? Have we heard some rather outrageous things? Some of them sounded good to us. We wanted them to be true, but they did not happen. We were not staying within the bounds, within the boundaries of Scripture. A lot of misery has come about because people went out of the bounds. They listened to what somebody said and they liked it. Hey, if I like it, it must be from God, right? Well, not necessarily so. And so we have to be able to test things to see if they're real or not. But let me backtrack just a little bit and say something that's probably antithetical to my whole ministry. To be spiritual is to be a bit gullible. To be spiritual is to be a bit gullible. See, you and I were raised in an era where everything had to be rational, provable scientifically. And we could explain away just about anything spiritual. But if you're going to step into that realm, you're going to have to learn to listen to inaudible voices. You're going to have to be willing to follow impressions. Well, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go talk to that person. Well, how did you know? Well, I just kind of knew. Well, for a lot of people, that's not good enough. That's not solid enough. And so they don't go after their own spiritual self. They don't explore that territory. You've got to be vulnerable. You've got to go out on a limb every once in a while. You say something, you know, I was just thinking while we were talking, is this the case? Yeah, how did you know? Well, I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to say to you. You have to get out there a little bit. You have to be able to discern impressions, feelings. And maybe gullible isn't the right word. Maybe the right word is discerning. Be discerning, not gullible. The body of Christ needs to quit being so gullible. And it's kind of funny how you got half the body of Christ doesn't want anything spiritual going on at all. If I can't prove it, if I can't dot it and cross it, I'm not going there. And then you got another part of the body of Christ, they'll believe anything. They'll go after it all. They'll just dive in head over heels. You go, what? Really? Are you serious? You believe that? Come on now, get a clue. But it's tough territory, don't you think? I mean, here's Moses, he's talking to a burning bush. He's talking, the bush is talking to him. You go home and you tell your father, I'm going to take your daughter and your grandsons. We're going, well, how do you? Well, I was talking to this bush this morning. You got to be open, but not so gullible that. So how do we figure that out? How do I know when the Spirit of God is leading me somewhere, when He's speaking to me? You know, if you've done this for a while, you know there are kind of categories there. There are sometimes there's no time, and you just know that God is speaking. You got it. Boom. It's God. There's no doubt about it. You move forward with it. And there are other times when you're kind of iffy. I think this is what God's saying to me. I think this is what, but I'm not sure. And there are other times you're pretty sure it isn't, but not totally. How do you pan the gold nuggets out of all that dirt and water that's going through? Because gullible will lead into foolishness. You make a fool out of yourself and a disgrace of God. But discernment will lead to valuable wisdom. You'll be able to unlock doors because you know something God just spoke into your heart you couldn't have otherwise known. Well, that's why the Spirit tells us to establish every fact by the testimony of two or three witnesses. No one hears that well that they don't need confirmation. No one hears that well that they don't need confirmation. So don't get so high and mighty that every thought you have is a God thought. It's not. Some of what goes in your mind is God speaking to you. What a lot of people do is they just shut the whole thing down, not going to listen to anything. That way they're not going to be deceived, they're not going to be fooled, but they're not going to get the good stuff either. That's not good. How often in a day's time in your household do you hear these words? What'd you say? Huh? How many of us just fake it like we heard what they said? Surely nobody in your household ever said anything like this to you. You need a hearing aid. Is there conviction going on right now throughout the body? Oh, if it's true physically, man, it's double true spiritually. Sometimes God is shouting at us at the top of our lungs and we're have no clue. Have no clue. No one hears that well that they don't need what was that, God? Are you sure? Seriously? You want me to what? I mean, Gideon, he's treading grain in a wine press. Oh, mighty warrior, go deliver it. What? You talking to me? I think you got the wrong address. You see, I'm the least in my family, and my family's the least in all Israel. You better check your GPS. First time in my life, I showed up the graveyard late for an internment. They had the color guard all ready to go, the flags over the cat, they're all standing at attention. The guy's got guns. And I'm going, my GPS took me to a trailer park 5 miles away from the cemetery. There was this little street less than 100 yards long by the same name that the cemetery road is on. Couldn't trust my GPS. We had the funeral earlier and the internment later. Usually you follow. There's a reason we follow the hearse now. I found out there's a reason you follow the hearse. And I showed up 5 minutes late. And I'm an early guy. Not good. Did I hear correctly? Am I on track? Am I following the right voice? Can I trust this? How do I stay safe? No one hears that well that they don't need confirmation. I'll tell you what, the enemy imitates God very well. He's got his voice down pat. Often when the enemy is trying to get you to do something out of line, trying to move you somewhere wrong, he sounds just like God. And sometimes your own thoughts, we misread, though, that must be God. It's, you know, it just makes sense. And it ain't, no. What'd you say, God? Did I get that right? Is this by the mouth of two or three witnesses? First of all, recognize There are winds of doctrines, winds of teachings out there. There's always new stuff popping up that is stupid. And I don't know why we're so attracted to the new stuff, to the odd stuff, but we are. And you begin to follow these things, these teachings. Somebody comes up with something different. Pastor Leek gave us some good advice when he said, you know, if it's new, it's not God. His word was canonized a long time ago. And if it's new, it's not God. So recognize there are all these fads going on and cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. These are not nice but misinformed people. Oops, they got it wrong. Sorry. There are actually people, they're actually agents of the enemy doing their best to corrupt. Boy, it's a good thing they haven't been working in America, huh? Yeah, there isn't any lying going on today, is there? Everything's straight and straight as an arrow. What was wrong yesterday is wrong today. What was right 100 years ago is right today. No, actually, cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful, what's that last word? Scheming. There have been people scheming for the demise of America, of the church, of the world for a long time. And God is warning us here. Don't drink the Kool-Aid from the world. And it's coming in different flavors now. There, don't go there. There's these agents scheming to deceive many, destroy the church. So ask the Lord to confirm your thinking. See, we spend an hour in church a week, if that, and the world is constantly, you know, bombarding us. The talk shows, the sitcoms, the news media, it's all bringing a message and just drumming it into us. Just last week, I saw on the evening news where this family was moving from Arkansas to New Mexico because in Arkansas, they passed a law that you cannot give hormone treatments to a minor that will change their sex. Sounds like a good law to me. But the news was being very sympathetic with the poor family who wants to inject their daughter with hormones that will turn her into a little boy, a minor child. And, wow, I won't keep going on. I could spend all day right there. Cunning, craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And they're trying to tell us this is good, this is right. No, it's unnatural to be what you were created as. You know, unnatural. But yeah, Lord, we need clear, we need true, we need right. Help us to think right in this twisted world of ours. So ask the Lord, confirm. God, I think this is what you're saying to me. Is that right? You know, the Lord never minds a person asking for affirmation or confirmation. Gideon, he asked several times. He said, well, if this is really what you want me to do, how about I set out a fleece? And then, okay, good. Well, how about if I set it out one more time? I'm sorry for asking so much, God, but I just really need to make sure. There's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Unbelief is, I don't care what God said, I'm not going to do it. Doubt is, I just want to make sure this is God. And everybody who walks in God will have doubt, will wonder, will ask questions. God loves it when you ask questions because he's a God who answers, sometimes not immediately. But boy, when he speaks, you're very clear and it's life transforming. When you've been through the valley of doubt and it's hurt and you've agonized over it and you've cried out, maybe even shook your fist a couple times. But then when God speaks, it's life transforming. It's not unbelief, it's just clearing the fog, getting clarity. And God loves it when we ask for clarity. Be patient and ask the Lord to affirm. So what are some of the witnesses that God uses? First of all, quotes from Scripture. You're reading the Word and this theme comes out. It pops out. You've been feeling it in your spirit. Now you open up your Word. You're in devotions and you say, wow, I never saw that in there before. I didn't expect an answer. I'm in Leviticus right now. I didn't expect an answer and there it is. Okay, I felt it. I'm reading it in the Word. Then other people you esteem in the Lord. Maybe you run it past them. Maybe you don't say a word to them, but they come up and they say, hey, you know what? I was praying for you the other day and this was on my heart and mind. What's going on? And you're going, whoa, this is wild. This is amazing. I shared a couple weeks ago the testimony of a fellow I heard on the radio who said, you know, he was in his daily devotions and the Lord gave it to him. And he said, it seemed like the Lord put a highlighter on it. And he thought, that's fine, but I don't need that. He went to church that morning. That was the scripture that the pastor used. He turned the radio on the way home, and here the guy's talking about the same scripture. That's great, God. And then the next day he realized, oh, so this is why you were preparing me for this. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a matter be established. It's time for you to get up. And I don't want to move, Lord, but boom, 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 boom. Okay, God, I'm moving. we're getting ready to go here. Look at clues spoken through others, those two or three witnesses. And even at that, be ready and willing to abandon it at any moment when you find out, no, it's not God. It's not God. I really thought it was. But sometimes we want something so bad, we can twist things to make them fit, but they don't really fit. And after a boom, they just kind of bust loose and oops, I've made mistakes. How about you? I've done some things that, no, I thought it was God. I thought it's what he wanted, but apparently it wasn't. And I say apparently because sometimes even our failures are turned around to glorify the Lord. There is power in yielding to the Holy Spirit and danger in following the wrong spirit. So that's what we're talking about. Why do I even want to mess with it then? Because that's where the power flows. That's where people get saved. That's where people get healed. That's where people get transformed. That's where your life gets the good stuff, is when you live out on the edge and you believe what God is saying. If Gideon had just gone home and said, no, I'm not leading anybody, those Midians are really nasty, there wouldn't have been any victory for all. If Elijah had said, you want me to what? Go up on top of a mountain, put a bull on there, soak it down with water and expect fire to fall from heaven. Okay, yeah, uh-huh. Now, the good stuff is on the edge. There's power when you yield to the Holy Spirit and danger in following the wrong spirit. So we want to balance that. We want to be careful in it all. So my advice to you is to proceed with caution, but do proceed. Be careful any proclamation that you make. But when it is God's word, proclaim it. Do proceed. Do move forward. We've got a church that is in the doldrums, that has been quiet for, didn't want to make a mistake. Isn't that nice? Not making a mistake, not moving is a mistake. Amen? Not working, not accomplishing, not living for what you were born to do. That's the biggest mistake of all. To have missed it completely. Getting in touch with your spiritual self will bear great dividends to yourself and others. It's what we were created to do. Now, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What a beautiful word, instead. Don't be a baby. Instead, grow up. Speak the truth in love. Let the truth be heard. You don't have to contend for it. Just speak it. It makes sense. It will prove itself in time. Notice that this context is all about the body. Not so much about the individual, but us together. We can't do this on our own. We got to do this together. So when we speak the truth in love, we protect one another. Somebody comes in the front door and they're saying something, the latest thing they heard, we can say, oh yeah, careful with that. I don't, that sounds a little jiggy to me. So let's be careful with that. I can come out with something, somebody can balance me. We can balance one another and we can move forward and strengthen together. Hey, I got this idea. What do you think? You know, and we can come around and affirm that, and we can get moving in the same direction and accomplish something in the name. Can't do it all by ourselves. Nothing lasting or great, but as a body being strengthened, speaking the truth to one another and being built up in the strength of Christ. A red flag that we ought to be aware of is moving on the experience of another person. We don't find it in Scripture, but they are experiencing it. Well, good for them, but it may not be for us. So be very careful. Well, they're doing this over there in that church, and I think, oh, you know what? Listen to the Spirit of God. Let's follow Him in what He's doing. Don't follow the experience of another person. Find it in Scripture. Laughter went through. There was a fad some years ago. Churches were laughing. Holy laughter, they call that. That's great if they experience it, but I don't find it in Scripture. Barking like a dog. Some were bark. I love dogs, but, you know. No. Raising your hands. Speaking in other tongues. Even a shout to the Lord. That's all biblical stuff. We find that in Scripture. I mean, within the bounds. And so that's safe. We don't go off others' experience. We go off the Word of God. Prophecy, Paul told us, is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. It's not to breed doom and fear and gloom and all of that. It's to lift our eyes a little bit higher and to trust in the Lord. You can't go wrong sticking to the plow, walking in paths of righteousness. What do I mean? Love God, love people, find a place to serve, do good to others, all that in the name of, that's good stuff. You know, you don't have to worry so much about the latest thought that's going around the internet, but stick to the plow. Start with the essentials. What are the essentials? The Bible is the infallible, inspired Word of God. God created everything that is. Only one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Steve and I were at the marketplace yesterday, and one woman walked past Steve, tried to hand her a track and a cross, and she said, "I'm of a different religion completely," and just kind of waved him off. I want to talk to you. Only one God. Jesus, born of a virgin. I don't give an inch on any of this. Hear me. Born of a virgin, lived an absolutely sinless life, substitutionary death on the cross. He died in my place, paid my debt for sin, rose from the dead on the third day. All of that is true. All of that is right. We have people in the church who are explaining this stuff away. They're not in the church. What do we say about scheming of, that's that. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. Salvation by grace through faith alone. I don't earn my way into heaven. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That is where our salvation. These are the essentials. Now, non-essentials, what are they? Well, I don't know, maybe my view of end times events. We got pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. Which one is right? Well, I'm right, of course, but everybody else I can get along with. They may not be according to, it's not the essential. It's not essential that I believe that I will be, you know, raptured before the tribulation. Well, which is it? Is it eternal security or is it free choice? Yes, it is. But we get people from different camps arguing with one another. That's foolishness. Stick to the essentials. That's what I need to know in order to be saved. I heard a fellow say the other day, Bill Gates wants to be the Antichrist so bad he can taste it. And I thought, oh, dear Lord. Because we're standing in a hallway full of people. I'm not even sure if this guy's saved or not. And he wants to talk about all this end time stuff in front of unbelievers. Now, would you agree with me that making a statement like that in public What would the public think of a fellow making a statement? I should say that. You know, everybody going, woohoo. First of all, what is an antichrist? You know, and all of that. And sometimes we throw this stuff out there, and people think they're witnessing by leading with statements like that. No, no, get back to the essentials. Hey, do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Savior? You know? Wow. And if we stick to the essentials, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. People won't be coming in to visit the church and say, man, those people are woo-hoo. But we felt God in that place. And it makes a difference. As each one of us does the work that God has set aside for us to do. Built up by love, each of us doing our part in the body, helping it to function. More work, less talk about theories and possibilities. Major on the essentials. The essentials save souls. All too often, the non-essentials just create divisions. Hey, well, we agree on this. Oh, we don't agree on that. We got to need a new denomination here. You worship over here, we'll worship over here. Not what Christ intended. Not what Christ intended at all. Would you stand with me this morning? We believe.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthem, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptation, we believe, we believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptation, we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. and he's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud, or God, we say, we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil.